that everybody is doing well. It's always wonderful to come together. It's always wonderful to be here with our brothers and sisters in Christ and studying God's Word. It's good to separate ourselves from time to time from this world, from the things of this world, and things that continue to go on in this world, just to be able to take that time aside and to be encouraged to continue to fight that good fight, to come together and, Lord willing, as we're here with our brethren and sister in Christ, not to have great temptations come upon us, but rather encouragement to continue to push along. Because as we continue to live in this life, there's continuously temptations that we have to overcome, persecutions that the world is trying to put upon us. And we have to make sure we continue to put God first. This evening's lesson is titled Sin versus Mercy. I was really trying to figure out how to title it. Honestly, didn't want to put the title on the top. I wanted to just wait till the end. But as we go through the Word of God, as we go through the lesson this morning, hopefully you'll understand the title. I believe it makes sense. To the point of any sin can be forgiven, but even further than that, hopefully the mindset that we need to grow or that we have, the mindset that we have or if we don't, that we need to grow into forgiving others as they have sinned. So I want to start off talking about sin, talking about evilness that is in this world that we can see through the Word of God, and start off looking at our Lord and Savior in Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew chapter 27, we turn here in getting to that time of sacrifice of our Lord, that persecution, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. And here in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 20, brings out the, it says, "But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, 'Which of the two do you want me to release to you?' They said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate said to them, 'What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?' They all said to him, 'Let him be crucified.' Then the governor said, 'Why? What evil has he done?' But they cried out all the more, saying, 'Let him be crucified.' When Pilate saw this, he could not prevail at all, but rather that the tumult was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it.' All the people answered and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.' Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, as he scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." And so as you go through and read that again, here they are choosing a thief and a murderer over an innocent man. The leading men of the Jews, the elders, the chief priests, they are getting the people together and causing them to get this multitude to shout for Barabbas. And what shall be done unto them? Got them to call out, "Crucify him, crucify him." It's an evil world. Corruption continuously upon this earth that they're willing to go forward and choose an evil man over a just man. And what they had done to our Lord and Savior, to an innocent man, as you continue to read there in verse 26, that he was scourged. And verse 27, as you go through from that point on, that soldiers end up surrounding our Lord and Savior. They end up beating him, mocking him, putting that crown of thorns upon his head. And of course, eventually leading him down to be nailed to a cross. It's evil. In Acts chapter 7, as the Lord's church began, in Acts chapter 7, the church was persecuted. The church is persecuted today. Acts chapter 7 and verse 57 here says, "Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." You jump down to chapter 8. In chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, the great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And in verse 3 it says, "And for Saul he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging men and women and committing them to prison." Stephen is stoned to death. Others are being dragged out of their own homes and taken and thrown into prison. Others are still being stoned. Others are being beat, trying to get them to blaspheme our Lord and Savior. The world can get caught up in so much evilness and sin and hate. Hate for our God. Hate for His Word. Again, in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to his high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that he, if he found any who were of the way, whether man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." And he goes so far as to write letters to other cities to make sure he has permission to go into there, drag man or woman, and throw them into prison, to drag them all the way back. Continuous sin. As Paul is recounting this in chapter 22, when he was commanded to go and preach the word, gather with other disciples of the Lord, he recounts this. And this is one of the reasons he was scared to go back to these other people. It says, "So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by this consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." Again, and there's so many verses we can go through and look at sin, look how evil the world, how corrupt the world can be. As we look at that, and we ask ourselves, where's the line drawn for someone who is forgiven, who can be forgiven? How would we treat Saul, even after this point? You know, if he were to be coming to our congregation or coming to your house after you've heard the stories of him going from city to city, house to house, dragging other disciples of the Lord and throwing them into prison, will you accept him into your house? He claims to be renewed. Remember, Ananias was very scared to go to him. He tried to speak with the Lord. "Lord, I've heard of this man." A few, at least. Well, others probably have seen it too. But in some movies, cop movies, or fighting movies or something, if a cop gets thrown into prison, and something happens, he ends up going to prison, what kind of welcome party does he get? It's not a very welcome party. People in prison that he has thrown into prison, people aren't very excited to see. But when we look at it in this viewpoint as a Christian, and looking at those who have done us wrong, those who have persecuted us, those who crucified our Lord and Savior, if they turn to God, what kind of welcome will they get? We look to Jesus right away, and we can see that he is ready to forgive others. In Acts, or in Luke chapter 23, as he's on that cross, Luke chapter 23, turn along with me there. Luke 23, looking at verse 34. Luke 23 and verse 34. As it reads here, it says, "And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Forgive them. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, there's Stephen. He's also, as he's being stoned to death, he says, "Do not charge them with this sin." Understanding that God is a merciful God, that Jesus died on the cross so that they could be forgiven. And Jesus, while on the cross, "Father, forgive them. He died for us." In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his love toward us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's why he came down here. That's why he went to the cross. And so that our sins can be forgiven. So those who were there, who were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him," if they had obeyed the gospel, if they've turned to the Lord, as you look to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, Acts 2 and verse 36, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." I don't know how many in this crowd or if any, but I'm assuming some in this crowd was probably part of the multitude that was shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." They had reasons to be gathered in Jerusalem at both times, and so here they are gathered together. Peter preaching to them, even putting them on the spot, saying, "You, your fault, you crucified our Lord." And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God." We know around 3,000 saved this day, about that many. They remained faithful, and they were in that crowd that shouted, "Crucify him." Maybe even Jesus saw some of these people. We know he's God, so he knows all. He knows who was there. He knows their attitude. He knows their hearts. But on that day of judgment, even though they were the reasons that he was crucified, he'll be so welcoming. He'll be receiving them into that home in heaven. He has prepared them a place, a home in heaven. Mercy over that evening that he has forgiven them. Again, they had to seek forgiveness. They had to obey the gospel. They had to be willing to repent, turn from this sin. But they could be forgiven. And the same thing as we look to the Apostle Paul, you go back to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22 and in verse 16 it says, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of our Lord." Calling on the name of the Lord. Arise and wash your sins away. Paul had his sins forgiven. I got this idea for the sermon from a post on Facebook this week. It had a picture, of course, it was supposed to be the Apostle Paul. But on it, it said, on that day, when he gets to heaven, he'll be accepted by the martyrs that he killed. And where else? The ones that he was there stoning to death. Stephen. Ones that he dragged out of prison. Or out of their homes and threw them into prison. Again, you got to think of the mindset that we sometimes have today, though. We got that mindset of give him the just reward. How many brethren at the time that this was taking place saying, "Vengeance is God. I have to let God take care of it." God took care of it. He repented of his sins. He turned and worked for God. And so it's no longer about vengeance, but rather the mercy and welcoming him as part of the family. There's no sin that can't be forgiven, even as those who crucified the only Son of God. Even for Paul, who went forth and persecuted the Lord's children, throwing them into prison, man and women. All can be forgiven. I mean, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and you read there in verse 9, it says, "Do you not know the unrighteous will not
inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. None of them will. And such were some of you. As he writes this letter to the church in Corinth, he says, and such were some of you. You guys were caught up in this, and you was caught up in that, and you was caught up. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That was their past. May have been forgiven. God is awesome. So merciful. Love. As I stand up here and sit here, I can say I haven't taken anyone out of their homes and stoned them to death. But I have sinned in my life. I needed the forgiveness of God. I needed that blood of Christ. Just as much as that person did. Just as much as Paul did. And so we see his mercy and his kindness. And sometimes we have to remember to pray for the forgiveness of others. Pray that they'll have the heart to turn to God while knowing that God will take care of all things in the end, and that those who do not turn to Him and continue down an evil path will have a just reward. Ultimately, we should be praying that people turn to God, and God is ready to forgive them, and we must be ready to forgive one another also. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation. God's mercy, His grace, His loving kindness is there extended to any who have not obeyed the gospel. To any who needs forgiveness of sins. If you're here this evening and you have not been baptized, we encourage you to do that this evening. Be baptized. Wash your sins away. If you're here and you need the prayers of the congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, let it be known as we stand this evening.
Amen.